And Jesus said, "Come." To the motherless and the childless, he said, "Come."
To all who belong to my mother, he said, "Come."
Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
And so we come, seeking rest, peace, and hope.
We come bringing the fullness of our lives before the fullness of God's love. Mother Teresa claimed simply that peace begins with a smile. And so let us honor that truth by turning to those around us and offering the gift of peace by word, by handshake, and by smile. The peace of Christ be with you. Friends, brothers, sisters, good morning. Grace and peace to you on this seventh Sunday of Easter. Grace and peace to you on this Mother's Day. I welcome you here in the name of God who says in Isaiah, "As a mother comforts her child, so I comfort you." I welcome you in the name of Jesus, who proclaimed his desire to gather us under his protective arms as a mother hen gathers her chicks. I welcome you in the name of the Spirit, who like a mother urges us on when we falter with sighs too deep for words. Welcome to the worship of God here at the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ in Stockbridge. Welcome on a day where we celebrate motherhood in all of its forms. Know this, whether this day is a day that is full of joy, or whether this is a day that is full of conflicted emotions, grief, grieving, or loss. Know that whether on this day you have the gift of being with your mom, or feel her distance from you, whether this day brings up blessings or burdens, know that you are welcome here just as you are and with everything you carry, because you are loved and precious and needed here, and because here we gather in the midst of the holy presence of God, who is indeed mother and father to us all. Amen. I would direct your attention this morning to our yellow sheet of paper. It contains a number of announcements about the life of this community. If anyone has an announcement to make about it, please come forward to that microphone that you might do so. Patty.
Good morning, everyone. So yesterday we had a talent show at church, and I'd like to ask anyone who performed to stand. Please. Thank you. There are many more who performed who aren't here. Stay standing. I'd like to ask anybody who attended in the audience to see all the great performances to stand with us. And there were many more who aren't here today. And I would like to ask, when we have our next talent show, how many of you think you'll be there? Stand and join us. Yeah. It was really fun. I wanted to thank everyone again for such a great afternoon and putting your talents out there and letting your light shine. I'd like to invite you to the next Music Committee event, which is on Saturday, June 11th at 4 p.m. It's our next Music on Main concert. You might be familiar with Yijin Yuk. He has performed at our church previously. He is a student at Berkshire Music School, a student of Gene Stackhouse. He's graduating this year and going off to college, and this will be your last chance for a little while to see him here in the Berkshires. This is going to be an amazing concert. Do not miss it. Saturday, June 11th, 4 p.m. Mark your calendars. We hope to see you there. Thank you.
This is just a reminder about the All Church birthday party. It's next Sunday, right after church in the JE room. So we are asking that if your last name starts with letter A through M, you bring a main dish, and N through Z, side dish. And this is on the yellow sheet, but I want to make the announcement. This is kind of our first large-scale potluck event this year, I believe. So just a reminder about the church being a nut and latex-free zone. Okay, we do that to look after the safety and health of everyone here in the congregation, but also any visitors that may be coming that also have those allergies. So sometimes it's hard to keep that in mind when we're just picking up stuff or whatever, but if you can do that, that would be great. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Glenn Gilbert, church moderator. I wanted to take a minute and just let you know that the Vision Work Group is continuing to work on developing a vision plan, and we are working hard to meet God's deadline on that, whatever date that is. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. Anyway, I also want to thank all of you who had participated in the church breakout sessions last month, 6 weeks ago, on looking at extravagant welcome and passionate worship and some other things that we talked about. We have been going through those notes that were taken at the table and the comments and thoughts that were offered by the church members. We're going to do another session probably on June 5th. We would do it earlier, but fighting to get onto the church calendar, it's going to take that long. We will be looking at our place in the community. Where do we belong in this community? How do we fit with this community? How do we bring the community in and go out and be in the community? And also looking at a longer vision range plan for the property and the building, those kinds of things. So be thinking about that. Please be praying about that. We'll be looking for your thoughts and comments about those two areas. And again, this vision work group doesn't have the plan. We are really working hard to incorporate what the church considers to be the vision for this church and in line with what God's hope is for this church. So June 5th, we'll be getting some more information out to you about that. Thank you.
I have one last announcement to make. No, speaking of buildings and grounds, it isn't because we are good, sturdy New Englanders and have just decided that a certain point in the calendar has come, and so we've shut off the heat. That's not why it's chilly in here this morning. You may remember a few weeks ago where we went into that room and worshiped because the furnace didn't work at all and it was cold. A couple things about that. I heard from so many people how great it was to be all close together, shoulder to shoulder, together in worship. The furnace is still a bit on the fritz. It is working, but not fully. It is the reality of our life here in this beautiful old building, a reality that will take our care and our love. There's another gentle nudge I want to remind you of. There is absolutely no reason on a Sunday morning where we can't sit shoulder to shoulder, close together, in this room too. In fact, in the old days, the most expensive pews that you could buy are the ones that no one sits in today. So just a little announcement about why it's a little chilly in here, and a little nudge and invitation that if you want to sit close together on Sunday morning, do it. Now I'd like to invite all of the children who are with us today to come on forward and to join Kathy and Martha and I right up here. Come on up, have a seat. All right, so we have a couple of extra people here with us for this time. We have Martha, who's our deacon, who's gonna read to you a passage out of the Gospel of John. And then we have Kathy, who's gonna help us learn something this morning. So Martha.
Our story today is among the very last things that Jesus teaches to the disciples in the Gospel of John. He is trying to talk to them about what life is going to be like once he returns to be with God. This is what he tells them. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
All right, so I want to talk about that story with you for a little bit this morning. So I'm one of those people who like to go out and when I'm in a big crowd with other people, I like to look at those other people and see different people, and I like to try to imagine who they are and what they do and maybe where they came from and what kinds of things that they like, okay? So I'm going to ask for your help. We're all going to do this together this morning. First place we're going to go is to a parade. So I want to imagine that you're at a big parade, maybe like the Memorial Day parade that's coming up here in Stockbridge. So if you were to see these people... Firefighters. You got that pretty quick. Now, how do you know they're firefighters? Are they fighting a fire right there? I don't see a fire.
It's because they're wearing black and yellow.
Oh, because they're wearing those particular outfits. They're wearing the official firefighter colors of black and yellow. What else might give you a clue that they're firefighters? Yeah. Well, they're sitting on a fire truck, right? So that, you know, that might give us a hint that those are firefighters. Okay, all right, now speaking of colors, I want you to imagine now that we go to the Olympics, okay? Great big sporting event, lots of people from all over the world. Could you maybe help tell me what country these people are cheering for? The USA, how did you know that just by looking at this picture? So one thing is one of the women wrote USA on her forehead, right? So that helps. But why else would you know that? So their colors, it goes back to another color thing. They're wearing the official colors of the United States. Anything else you see in here? She painted her face like a flag, right? Okay. Same with the other ones. Yeah, there are stars and stripes and everything going on. All right, so I've got one more thing. Now, there's something that some of the people in this church went to down in New York City a couple years ago, and it was a big march, and there were 400,000 people who got together to march about something. Now, do you think by looking at this picture, you can tell me what they cared about? Yeah.
The climate.
The earth, the climate. How did you know that by looking at this picture? Okay, well, they're carrying another one of those signs. That's really helpful, isn't it? Why else? What else do you see here that might be simple? They're carrying giant sunflowers, and that's not something we generally do, right? And so the reality is that sometimes we can tell by looking at other people, maybe what they think is important, maybe who they cheer for, what they do for a job. And that's what the disciples wanted to know from Jesus before Jesus left them. They said, you know what? So far, people have been able to tell that we follow you. Do you know how? Well, because they literally did. See, Jesus walked in front and they followed behind. And so all the people knew that they followed Jesus because they literally did. But Jesus was going away. And so they asked this question. How will other people know that we follow you, that we listen to you, that we learn from you, that we care about you? There's a young person in Oregon who drew this painting. And can you see this painting? And it's sort of the question we have to answer today. Who do you think that is out front? Jesus. Why do you think it's Jesus? He's wearing the official colors of Jesus, isn't he? He's wearing white. Absolutely. So you could tell that that's who that is. And behind him, what kinds of people are there? Yeah, regular people, all kinds of people. There's a guy carrying a ladder. There's a woman walking a dog. There's all people of different shapes and colors and hues. And there's even, it looks like a king walking in there. So there's all sorts of different people. A person with a suitcase going on a plane. So the question comes in. If we took away Jesus in this photo and we had just the regular people left, how would we know that they followed Jesus? And in the Gospel of John, Martha just told you. How is it?
Because of their love for him.
Because of their love for him and for other people and for God. Right, it's this whole thing about Jesus said, you know what? People will know you care about me. People will know you follow me. And all you have to do is love. Okay? So that's what I want you to remember today. Now, people will tell us that you learn things pretty well if somebody tells you about it. You learn things even better if you sing about it. Okay? And so we're all going to sing about this whole idea. So here's a song sheet for you. They just have the words. Take one down and pass it around. And then Kathy's going to teach you how it goes.
All right. So a lot of us already know this one, but in case we don't, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sing it line by line. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. So you follow that. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. Then the next line is, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And we pray. Christians by our love, by our love, and we'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
That sounded like you guys know it pretty well.
Very good.
A backup chorus too.
Now normally we head off to Sunday school after we say a prayer together, right? Today, we're going to use this song as our prayer. So think about it as a prayer as you sing it. And we, of course, invite everyone to pray and sing right along with us. Let's start over at the beginning.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that all unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand, and together we'll spread the news that God is in our land, and
They'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, his only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
All right, amen. Well done. And now you can head on off to Sunday school. Thank you, Willa.
The 17th chapter of John is an extended prayer that Jesus offers on behalf of his disciples. It is a prayer of blessing and hope. Hear these words from this important prayer of Jesus to God. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as I have loved you. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them.
Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This piece of cloth that I put around my shoulders every Sunday is called a stole. It is the sign of Christian ministry, and it is bestowed upon those who are ordained not as a sign of exaltation, but instead as a sign of servanthood. You put it on each and every Sunday to lead worship, to remind you the mantle that you are carrying, the one you serve, and the one to whom you belong. In my time here in Stockbridge, I have gotten many comments from many people about how people love my stoles. They are different. They are colorful. They are beautiful. And this stole, like every single stole I have, this stole was a gift to me. They all have been given to me. And this particular stole came to me from the church in Somersville, Connecticut, where I spent 2 years serving as their student pastor. It was hand-stitched and hand-sewn by a number of the people in that congregation. And on my final Sunday there, as we gathered in the basement, in the room to celebrate 2 years of life together, it was presented to me. One thing that you should notice is that emblazoned on it is the logo of the United Church of Christ. It is there because that church claimed that they really hadn't done much thinking or talking about the United Church of Christ before that pesky student showed up. And suddenly all that pesky student wanted to do was talk about the United Church of Christ and how meaningful and cool it was and why it should matter. And so they decided to do a little homework, and they found this logo of the church and put it right here. It brought tears to my eyes. But what made the tears start flowing is when the people who made it handed it to me and said, "We want you to remember every time you wear this that you will always be one of us. You will always belong, no matter where you are, to this congregation." They claimed me by offering me this parting gift. I was part of them. Today, in this world, and amidst all of the political machinations and all of the fear and trauma out there, one of the fundamental questions that people are asking is, who belongs to what? Who is in and who is out? Who belongs and how can you tell? Those questions are at the center of any movement, whether it is a conservative movement, whether it is a progressive movement, whether it is a movement for something or against something, traditional or contemporary. What people want to know is what holds that movement all together. What are the true marks of someone who is part of it? How can you tell that they are claimed by that movement? They are fundamentally critical questions. And in many ways, those were the questions on Jesus' mind as he prayed this final great prayer for his followers. This prayer takes place in John's gospel immediately before the passion is about to unfold. This is what Jesus is thinking about this ragtag group of people who is going to follow him and become his living presence on the earth once he has died, been raised, and ascends to heaven. This prayer that Jesus offers is beautiful. It is poetic. The language, it is complex. The sentence structure is daunting. In fact, I think the only kind of person who really can appreciate this kind of language is a sixth grade English teacher. Mine was Mrs. Grabowski. And I don't know if you remember yours, but do you remember how about that time you were given this impossibly long, complex sentence and they told you to graph it, right? To diagram the sentence, right? Verbs up here, prepositional phrases down there. Morgan and Bronwyn, are you doing something like that right about now? Absolutely, right? But what Mrs. Grabowski would say is the reason we do all that is because by taking it all apart and considering it all, you come to understand what it means when it is all together. And what Martha read this morning, that beautiful prayer, is not just worth listening to, but critically important that we understand. So here, from the middle of that prayer, is just one of those sentences. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us. The glory you have given me, I have given them, so that they might be one as we are one. I in them, and you and me, that they might become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Mrs. Grabowski's eyes would have lit up and we would have crawled under the desk. But in the end, Jesus is praying for a simple and a spectacular thing here for those who follow him. He prayed that we might so feel and so know and so live in his love that it becomes our love, that we might so understand all that he did and all he was and the very reason he came, that it might become our way of living, a way grounded in reciprocal love, a love that binds us together as one body. Jesus said to the one he knew as Abba, the one he called Father or Papa, "As you have loved me, Papa, so I have loved them. Let my love be in them that they might become one. And let that love then show them who you really are." The kind of love Jesus is talking about here is as much a decision and choice as it is a feeling. A love that, yes, sometimes flows easily, like when your kid is happy, or when blessings are abundant, or when the sun finally breaks forth in the midst of a cloudy day, a cloudy week, or even a cloudy life. And at other times, though, love has to be clung to. It has to be practiced, remembered. Love is fundamentally a decision to make, especially when things are not so easy or your kid is crying, when loss, grief, or fear seems more present than blessing, or when disagreement about who's in and who's out abounds. That is when Jesus prays, love has to be stubbornly clung to as a choice, a decision, a way. It is the message that is at the heart of this reading, and if you look very closely at this logo they lovingly printed here on my stole, at the top are the words United Church of Christ. It makes sense that a logo would have the name of the organization on it. The only other words on the logo, when this was first adopted back when we became a denomination, are the words "that they may all be one." The entire notion of who we are and why it matters wrapped up into that little phrase. It is both a hope for our church and the way of deciding who is in this church of ours, who decides to belong to this peculiar ragtag group of people trying to follow the way. This phrase is how you can tell in this congregational polity how we are all tied together. And the question is, in these tumultuous times when so much is up for grabs, is that enough? The decision, the choice to engage in reciprocal love that springs from following Christ is what holds this very diverse denomination together. If you go from church to church in the United Church of Christ, and especially beyond our New England borders, you are going to find great differences. You will find differences in the community that gathers, in the liturgy that's followed, in the preaching, in the practices, in the music, in the architecture, and even in the theology that is followed. It is a very diverse denomination that we call home. But if you ask the leaders of this denomination for an answer as to how we maintain our covenant, our promise, our identity with one another, how we stay one in the midst of all those differences, they will tell you it comes down to this guiding principle. In the United Church of Christ, we practice unity in essentials, diversity in non-essentials, and compassion in all things. Unity on matters that are of critical import. Celebration of diversity in those things for which we do not have complete answers and for which some mystery ought to remain. And finally, even in places where we fundamentally disagree, we should always have love, compassion, and tenderness toward one another. For love, remember, is as much a choice and a decision as a feeling. Love is choosing. So the question comes as to what exactly in this denomination of ours is essential. We'll get to that in a moment. In our tradition, it is important that we can all speak of and from our faith simply and genuinely. It is important that we can put into words what it is that we believe. But exactly how we articulate what we believe is not one of those essential things. We are a non-creedal denomination. That means we love all those creeds. We're not against them at all. Like the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. But we never see them as tests of faith. Instead, we see them as testimonies of faith. What we believe is not as important as how we go about believing. And so we can tolerate and even celebrate the diversity in the various great creeds of the Church Universal. We can tolerate different liturgies, architecture, music, and even theology, because while they are important, they are non-essential. In our denomination, we also deeply care about justice. Every time the church gathers, the Church National calls local churches to care, to engage, to minister in the world, and to break down barriers. But we do not mandate any particular stand on the great issues of our time. There are churches like ours that are open and affirming, and those where my profile would not even be read the first time I mentioned John. There are churches where inclusive language, where calling God in feminine language would be welcome. Others where it's met with some tension, and still others where it would be frowned upon. Different churches take widely different stances on climate change, gender, abortion, immigration, race, and so much more. And while that may sometimes be painful and hard, while it might invite tension, and where we stand today on those issues is not where we understand we will be at the end of all time. And so we are called, even in the midst of such important division, to practice compassion and love toward one another, even when the steps and proclamations we make might be difficult, hard, hurtful, or even when they make some people feel left out. When the United Church of Christ passed an ONA resolution, then General Minister and President John Thomas said this before the vote was taken. He said, after we vote, there will be no applause or clapping for whatever the vote is. There will be no cries of anguish or outcries of despair. Because in that critical moment after the vote has been cast, there is no room, he said, for anything but love. We need to decide in that moment how we are going to choose one another. For he said, rest assured that no matter how this great body votes on this issue, some will think we have just saved the church, and others will worry that we have just killed it. So in that moment, the only thing we have room for is love. So if neither of those things are essential, what is? If you read the Constitution of the United Church of Christ, the only thing that is essential is this: that we recognize Christ as the one we follow, that we claim Christ, that Christ might be in us, that God might dwell within us. The only thing that we have to agree on is that we follow, claim, and honor Christ so much that we dwell in him, that we come to be like him, that we come to become one body, and not just any body, but his body, a body that loves generously, lovingly, joyfully, abundantly, and yes, sacrificially. In the United Church of Christ and in our Constitution, there is but one essential, one thing that binds us together, one thing that says who is in this ragtag group of people, one choice, one decision, and that is simply to claim Christ. To claim him. We may have different ways or creeds of saying exactly who Jesus is and why it matters, but nonetheless, the thing we agree on is that we must claim Christ. We must take him in that he might take us in. We claim him in his way, his truth, that his life might claim us. So many of you commented on the beautiful anthem last week during communion, "Draw the circle wide." That is what we do when we claim Christ. We choose, we decide to love the way he did, reciprocally, that we might know the holy and that we might become really one with each other and the holy. On so many levels right now, people in Stockbridge, in the Berkshires, in the nation are struggling mightily with fundamental questions of identity. Who is in, who is out, who belongs, and how can you tell? We worry about a slip in morality that we might get torn apart by diversity and difference. What do we believe, and is it enough? As a church and a denomination living in such times, we dare not pretend those questions don't matter to us too. Here in the United Church of Christ, we make a bold claim that there is room in this great big tent for diversity and difference, that we must show compassion even around issues that are hard and potentially divisive. But we make a bolder claim that what is enough, no, who is enough, is Christ. Not just proclaiming him or figuring him out like you might diagram that sentence, but rather claiming him, taking him, following him, becoming one body together in his image, his love, and his God. It was enough when the United Church of Christ became a denomination some 60 years ago. Is this simple phrase that they might all be one enough for this church today? I know what I think. I know what I choose. I know what I've decided. Do you? Amen. Please be seated.
One of the ways we draw together is through the act of prayer. And so now I invite you into a time of silence, that the fullness of your life in this world may come into your heart. Here in this church, we name our joys and concerns out loud, that we may share them in love here in this place, and that we might take them with us as we go our separate ways. And so I ask you this morning, what are the joys of your heart? What are the burdens that you carry? Patty. We give thanks and lift up in joy the chance for you to spend time with your mother and mother-in-law last weekend. We also lift up your family members who are trying to get pregnant and struggling to do so, and for the many out there for whom the gift of parenthood is a difficult, fleeting thing. Don. And what is his name? I'm sorry. We lift up a young man, Tyler Stock, who is undergoing brain surgery this morning at Children's Hospital in Boston. Joanne. We lift up Daniel Berrigan in his passing, and that his message might stay with us. Indeed, we lift up our love for you, Betsy. We thank you for sharing that concern, and we promise to walk with you and love you through this as well. Mary Lou. We give thanks for that holy act of coming together in fun, talent, and joy yesterday here in this sanctuary.
Amen. Vicki. We lift up prayers for your family who's facing some of the effects of these discussions about immigration and deportation, and for all the families out there who are caught in the middle of this difficult time. Joyce. We lift up Christopher Niebuhr as he's going through a time of change and losing some of the freedoms in his life. Debbie. We'll get there. Right, for the devastating fires up in Canada, for the people who've lost everything, and for the towns that are trying to cope and help. Marjorie. To all who guide and shape our children, to mothers, to fathers, to teachers, that they might find God's love and be strengthened by it. Now. We lift up David Hawkins, Jackie's husband, as he continues to fight some cancer and deal with that, and we hope that we send healing prayers both his way and prayers, of course, to Jackie as well, who is by his side. And he is receiving good treatment. There is reason to believe good things are on the horizon, but right now is a difficult time.
A joy for learning to swim.
Indeed. Carrie. Carrie, if you do not know, works in bereavement and hospice in Holyoke, and so her staff cares for those people going through difficult times. So if we could lift up her staff members who are going through a tough time themselves, sometimes prayers for the helpers are needed too. John. We lift up Jordan, his brother, and all who face addiction. Yeah. We lift up your mother-in-law, Steve's mom, as she faces perhaps the end of her life in the midst of a lot of pain. And even in that very breath, we lift up the joy for you becoming a grandmother. Huzzah! Yeah. And who is this, I'm sorry?
A dear friend's
son and daughter-in-law who are dealing with some difficult issues, including a young baby within their midst. Yes. We give joy for the sneaking by your son of a birdhouse into your yard. May it bring life and joy. Friends, there is much to pray about, the joys and concerns of life. Let us take a moment of silence to let all those things truly enter our hearts. Loving God, for all these things, and for the things that have gone unsaid or unspoken, we lift them up to you boldly as we pray the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying out loud and together, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus calls upon us to love others as he has loved us. To love others generously, sacrificially, willingly, joyfully, and gratefully. It is a good, no, a great model for how we might show love through our giving here in the offering. It is in that spirit that the offering will be given and received. Having given these gifts, together let us bless them. Lord of life, you promise abundant life to all who live together in Christ. We offer these gifts as a sign of our desire to share our resources for the common good and the building of your kingdom. We humbly ask that you use them to strengthen our unity and deepen our witness and healing in this needy world. Friends, our worship is drawing to a close, that our worship of God may begin anew beyond these walls. And before you go, I have a few invitations for you today. First, make sure to come through those doors at the end of worship that we might spend time together in food and fellowship. Next week, we don't have a dress code at this church. We do not consider that to be one of the essentials. But next week is Pentecost. It is the birthday of the church. It is the day where fire and flame danced over the heads of the disciples. And so I urge you, I nudge you, I invite you, wear something red that the color of the Spirit might dance with us. One final invitation. I told the kids today that sometimes we sing songs because that is the best way to learn something. We are in the midst of a difficult time in this world that demands nothing short of love and hope and confidence and optimism. I'm well aware that when you leave church, sometimes what goes with you is the last hymn. I hope that you take this last hymn and you sing it and you learn something out of it and you take it with you as a gift to the world. Sing this last song joyfully.
As the sun breaks forth, people, go out into this world. And as you go, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you need fear nothing else at all. And may the peace of Christ, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds together as one until we meet again. Amen.